Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
In a world without romance, it is better to be dead.
Love and passion are dead in you. You're nothing but intellect.
You sure know how to romance a girl. No flowers, no dinner. My knees are weak.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, lots of married couples go through seasons when it seems like romance and physical intimacy just really are not a part of their relationship. Now, I know if you've just come off of your honeymoon, well, you can hardly understand that, but it is true. And if you're in a season where it's a bit stale right now in your marriage, I want to assure you that this is perfectly normal. However, I should also remind you that if it seems like the romance and the passion in your marriage are fading, there are steps that you can take to make them a priority again. Well, during the next half hour, I am privileged to talk with Dennis Rainey of Family Life Today. Our topic of discussion, how we can keep the passion and the romance alive in our marriages, regardless of the season. So keep it right here on Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Well, welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a very special guest, Dennis Rainey, is with us. We're talking about putting the passion and the romance back in your marriage. You know, marriages constantly go through seasons of ups and downs, but with a little work, you can keep the passion and the romance alive in your marriage no matter what that season you're in, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Very fortunate to have Dennis Rainey with us today. He's the president of Family Life. It's a division of Campus Crusade for Christ, daily host of a nationally syndicated radio program called Family Life Today, author of numerous books, and influencer of so many people in the world of marriage and parenting. Thank you for being with us, Dennis.
Jim, it's great to be with you.
Well, it is a real privilege to sit across from you. I have, for so many years, spent so much time learning from you and reading your stuff, passing out your stuff, and here we have a chance to talk about Rekindling the Romance, which is one of your latest books. I have to admit to you that yesterday I started reading this, and then I was up at 2:30 still reading it, called Kathy, saying, you know, there's some great stuff with this thing. And I read it thinking about our interview, and yet I learned a lot, so I appreciate it so very much.
Well, we do view romance differently as husbands and wives, and what Barb and I wanted to do was be able to speak directly to where people live in an authentic way. Yep. And I want you to know, I'm glad you stayed up till 2 o'clock reading it, because we stayed up late writing it. I don't think I've ever written a book that has been a bigger pain.
Isn't that something?
It was tough. It was really tough to write. And the reason is the subject of romance is so important to marriage today. And if we don't pay attention to it, the flames can go out. And with it, the commitment.
Absolutely. You report that there are 51 million women in North America who read romance novels. So obviously, people are thinking about romance. Harlequin Books have sold 3 billion romance novels since 1992. What lessons do we learn from both men and women?
I think men and women spell romance differently. Women spell romance RELATIONSHIP. That should have spelled relationship. Don't hold me to that. But men spell it SEX. And so here you have two people, a woman who is spelling it romance out of connecting emotionally, and a man who is spelling romance in his marriage around connecting physically.
Right, and doesn't he think he's connecting emotionally when he's involved in that connecting sexually?
Well, sure. And in fact, a lot of men think many times the only reason to connect emotionally and relationally is so that. And women resent that. And they know that. Women can tell when a man is truly interested in her soul and wants to care for her and nourish her and cherish her, and when he's just wanting something. And yet, I don't think God's a cosmic killjoy. He's not created us different to play a bad joke on us. I think he created us different so that we, number one, need each other. Number two, we learn how to love one another. It's interesting, one of my children's getting married this summer. And in doing some marriage preparation counseling for both my daughter and my future new son, I've had to reflect back on just how much you have to learn how to love when you get married. And I think this area of romance is one of the key areas where we have to learn how to meet one another's needs, and you can't do it unless you know how to sacrifice yourself.
Right, and it is sacrifice. It's also learning. I mean, I don't think this just comes naturally. I thought romance was going to come naturally, and it did at the beginning, or at least I thought it did, but it's something I've really had to learn and work at as a man. My wife, Kathy, has had to learn the same thing. So it's almost an oxymoron. You're working at romance?
Yeah, in fact, if you don't work at it, I think what happens is, and we speak about the doldrums.
Right.
And the doldrums actually is an area of the ocean near the equator that sailors, back before they had engines, used to loathe, because they could sail into this area of the ocean and the wind would not blow for literally days and sometimes weeks. Yeah. It would be treacherous heat. Yeah. And these ships would just be listless in the water. And the same thing can happen in a marriage. You can be sailing along with full sail, both paying attention to one another, and many times the doldrums are introduced into marriage by a little gift called children. In fact, one of our listeners to our broadcast wrote in and said it was romance that gave us our children, but it was children who stole our romance.
I underline that. It's so true.
Well, six children in 10 years. Yeah. If you don't work at romance,
right,
you really won't have a lot of it.
Yeah, and yet you tell that to somebody who is maybe not married or just getting married, and they say, well, work at it. But it really does take work. Now, there's also seasons, and you talk about this in your book, about the different seasons of romance, in a sense. What do you mean by that?
Well, when we get married, there is this great expectant new love that a couple have for one another, and there's great hope, great energy, lots of emotion, lots of self-denial for one another, but invariably you hit the blips, which result in disappointment. Right. And it's not if you'll have disappointment, right, it's when and how much. In fact, life has a way of delivering some pretty serious blows. Mm-hmm. Sure. Early on. In our marriage, for instance, we had 2 children, 2 and under, and one day I was about to leave for work, and for some reason I'd stayed a little later that day to leave for work, and my wife said, I'm feeling faint. And she tried to get up and nearly passed out. I helped her get back to the bed, and she was laying down there, and I felt of her neck to get a pulse, and her heart was beating so fast I literally couldn't count the beats, and called the ambulance. A friend came over to take care of the kids, and I went in the ambulance with Barbara, and it wasn't all like in the movies or on TV where they're running red lights. They stopped at every light, and my wife was in jeopardy. I mean, her heart was going crazy. We got to the hospital. She recorded 300 beats a minute from about 9 o'clock that morning until about 4 o'clock that afternoon. And at 4 o'clock, I think primarily due to the prayers of a widow who was on her knees praying for Barbara literally all afternoon, her heart rate reverted back to normal. And for the next 30 days, she had extra heartbeats. I had extra heartbeats. Right. I mean, the kids had extra heartbeats. We were right. So focused on her sure. health sure. and what was going on. And you know, at the end of that period, we found out she was pregnant. And so now you got the question of fear of, will she be able to deliver? And here she is with a congenital heart problem that's life-threatening. Hmm. Well, there was no romance in our marriage. Right. But that was a disappointment, and new love became disappointed love. But we think marriages don't have to get stuck in disappointed love. They can move all the way through and can move to cherishing, committed love. And that's where two people invest heavily, they remain committed, they don't give up on the other person, and they say, you know what, sweetheart, no matter what, I'm going to love you no matter what. Yeah. And I'm committed to you, and I will invest in this marriage even when you can't invest yeah. in me.
Well, the C word is a big word then. Commitment is a big word, not only with romance, but just keeping a marriage strong and vibrant.
I'll tell you, Jim, I personally think this is where the Christian community is really missing it today. Our churches are ravaged by divorce. Yeah. Right. And divorce is something that happens at a point in time, but when two people stand up in front of a group of their friends and they make a commitment to one another, they're not signing up for the Book of the Month Club. They're signing up for a lifetime covenant that is actually a covenant between a man and a woman and their God for a lifetime. And personally, I think it is from the covenant commitment a man and a woman make to one another in marriage that romance, the river that gets wide and deep and rich and so meaningful in a relationship, as it has in our marriage of coming up on 33 years, it's commitment that are the banks of that river. If you don't have that commitment in place, the romance doesn't have a chance to occur.
Well, that is what we want. That's what our listeners want. That's what Kathy and I want. That's what we're working toward. We're going to talk more about this right after this break because we're going to find out how do we get this. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. We're talking with Dennis Rainey today, putting the passion and the romance back in your marriage. And if it's been gone for a while, I've got news for you. There is hope.
It's good to know that hope is there, and it just doesn't take a lot of effort, but it does take some intentionality to rekindle the romance and to restore the passion in marriage. Good conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns on location for this interview with Dennis Rainey from Family Life Today. Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. You know, APU's newest building, the Sagerstrom Science Center, earned LEED Gold certification from the United States Green Building Council for its green design and construction features. It is absolutely beautiful. If you ever get a chance to make it to the Azusa campus or just go online at apu.edu, you can take a virtual tour of the Sagerstrom Science Center. And there are more new buildings going up all the time as APU continues to grow and expand. And its area of influence, a friend of mine lives in the area and he says, boy, it's so wonderful to have the university there. The whole city now has become synonymous with the university and we're proud alum and students of APU. More from Dr. Jim Burns on the other side of this break as Homeward continues.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Dennis Rainey talking about putting the passion, the romance back in your marriage. And if you have passion and romance, well, good for you. But you know what? There's a season in your life where that may not happen. And so you want to take notes as well. What a privilege to have Dennis Rainey with us in your car, at your home. One of the real privileges of Homeward, being able to put people like Dennis in front of you. What a great thing. Dennis, at the beginning of the book, there's a novel, and then your wife, Barbara, starts talking to women, but also men, and I was listening very strong. And she says that women can use their power to impact their husband in a positive way, or in a negative way. What does she mean by that?
Well, there's two chapters in the book that, quite honestly, as a man, and if Barbara happened to be here as well, she would say be equally important to stress for the ladies who are listening. And I might want to say just a word at this point. If we have any of our moms listening that maybe have some younger listeners who might be listening, what I'm about to say, you may have to call Homeward and get the tape because it might be better for you to consider what young listeners are going to hear because I'm about to tell it like it is.
Yeah, sure.
This is what Barbara did. She basically outlined why sex is so important to your husband. And I believe that today young women grow up being told to protect their moral purity, but they're not being taught about their power as women to use it in an appropriate way after they get married. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, 6, and 7, Solomon instructs his son, warning him about the wayward woman. And he talks about her power over a man, comparing a man to being that of like an ox headed toward the slaughter. Well, he talks about her words being like honey, smoother than oil. He talks about how she operated at twilight, in the evening, and in the middle of the night. He mentions how she used her beauty, especially her eyes, to capture the attention of a young man. Well, that's how the wayward woman used her beauty and her sexual power to seduce a man who wasn't her husband. But the power is not wrong. It's not wrong for a wife to look at her husband with a twinkle in her eye and have a sly smile on her face, to welcome him home from work, or maybe to call him from her place of work to his place of work and say, sweetheart, we're going to have a little party tonight. And when he inquires about what, entice him like the wayward woman did in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. It says there in chapter 7, verse 13, that the woman seized the young man and kissed him, brazenly kissed him. Yeah. Well, I would ask the young mothers and wives who are listening to your broadcast right now, when's the last time you brazenly laid one on him?
Yeah.
I mean, you put a smacker on him that caused him to stop dead in his tracks. You wouldn't think of not doing that when you're single, attracting a young man. In some cases, that's a wrong use of that power. Why not use it in a certainly God-ordained way in the marriage relationship? And again, I think in a home, in a family, this is where moms and dads need to train their sons and daughters about the use of sexual power in a positive way in marriage where it belongs, not outside of marriage.
Isn't that interesting? Because I think there's a lot of people who are saying a hearty amen to that, some of the men especially, and yet we have been brought up in a society where sexual power has been negative. It's been because of this, because of what the culture says and whatnot. But what you're saying is power is not negative. It's not positive or negative. It can be both. What you're saying is use this to build on the relationship, to build on the romance.
George Gilder is a Harvard sociologist, and he writes in his book, Men and Marriage, which was written back in the 70s, early 70s, he writes that women are the superior sex. That's how powerful they are sexually over men. Yeah. Now, I mean, think about it. What can cause a man to leave the life of being a single man to be domesticated? It is a woman's beauty, her charm, her alluring attractiveness that takes him away from the single life and his independence to want to make a commitment, ultimately and potentially father children and help rear those children. And as Gilder says, it's the woman's sexual power that actually tames the barbarian. Men outside of marriage can be barbarians. If you don't believe it, just look at what happens to your insurance rates after you marry. They get slashed dramatically. The insurance companies recognize women have a taming impact on men.
Right.
So the question is, as a wife, will you use your power to affirm your husband, to build him up, to attract him, to cement that marriage, to call him away from the enticements and the temptations that are in the culture? Or will you deny that power and turn him into a beggar? Turn him into one who begins to look elsewhere. Not that it's right, not that he should look elsewhere, but I think in many cases, sex has become dirty to a lot of women, and they don't understand that when God made us male and female, he said it was very good. He didn't say any part of that was dirty.
Right.
It's our culture that has really kept us from understanding the biblical plumb line. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe this, just go to Song of Solomon. Read that. I mean, the Shulamite woman used her charm and her beauty. In fact, one day she came to the king and said, come with me, let's go have a picnic in the vineyard. Now, we're talking about a horticultural experience like none other.
No, that's exactly right. And I know we'll talk more about men later, but I want to stick with this issue. The woman is saying, I can hear her right now, one of our listeners, she's saying, sure, Dennis Rainey, I understand that, and that may be true and well, but you don't understand. You know, I've got kids, I've got a dog, I've got a mortgage, I'm exhausted.
Right.
My husband comes home, and I'm so tired I can hardly sex. I'm so tired I can hardly make dinner, or I can hardly, you know, even have a conversation with him. You're telling me that I need to, you know, get out of this and actually seduce my husband now?
Well, for Barbara, and trust me, we know a little of what you're talking about here. We had six children in 10 years, and her emotional gas tank was hitting E. For empty on a lot of afternoons and evenings. Yeah. But one of the things she would do is she'd take a nap in the afternoon. And she would do that to try to regain some energy and some emotional focus to be able to have some time for our relationship and us in the evening. Not that that meant that there would be romance that evening, but just to be able to have a conversation and talk with one another in complete sentences. Women can, they can't completely override their circumstances, but they can take some strides and steps to make their marriage a priority. I think far too many families today, Jim, and you can speak to this, your ministry's been about this for years, are way too child-centric.
Right.
The marriage and the family is focused around the children, and when the children leave, there's no relationship in place right. between the husband and the wife. And I want to tell you, as empty nesters, Barbara and I now know we're in a phase that we call prime time. And it was not easy watching the kids leave. We miss the role of being parents, but both of us got fired.
Yeah.
And now we have fresh time on our hands to cultivate our relationship that we've not had in years. And frankly, it's pretty nice. We're really enjoying this new prime time.
Well, you're beaming, and I'm looking forward to that. Kathy and I are going through that adjustment, and we both have incredible fear, and we have great excitement at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So it's the weirdest deal. Well, our time's up. We're going to have to come back. Can you come back so we can keep on having this conversation? We've got to pick on the men a little bit.
We do. We have plenty of practical tips to help men speak romance to their wives.
Well, I love the way Dennis said that, because Jim, you just teased us as we're going to pick on the men, but Dennis said, no, we've got some practical advice. So you'll want to be with us for part two of this two-part conversation with Dr. Jim Burns and Dennis Rainey on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Restoring the passion in marriage has been our theme, and if you are looking for resources to help you do just that, check out the articles and media section of our online resource center at homeward.com today. You'll find articles, tip sheets, video clips, and the video clips are of Jim giving instruction, of course. I mean, just talking to audiences, and you don't have to worry about anything funky in those. But good resources, and all of the articles and media section absolutely free when you go to homeward.com.
Well, putting the passion and romance back in your marriage has been our theme today here on Homeward, and I've been talking with Dennis Rainey about this topic. And in these closing moments, I want to revisit an issue that we discussed regarding really the different ways men and women feel about love and intimacy, because there really are different ways. I think it's crucial for men and women to understand this concept, because oftentimes to women, romance means relationship, and actually that's very, very healthy. Some men, maybe most men, romance means one thing. S-E-X. Well, half the battle is keeping the romance and the passion alive in marriage for husbands and wives to understand this difference in the definition. It doesn't mean necessarily either one is right, but we've got to understand the other. And men and women are different. Guys, we need to remember that we really do have to work at building a relationship with our wives before she's even going to be remotely interested in the romance part. Well, that doesn't mean that you have to always go all out and have candlelight dinners and limos and expensive dates all the time. But I think that it is helpful to have a regular date night with your spouse and court her and build on the relationship. She needs to know you love her and that you really do want to be with her, not just physically intimate with her, but with her in relationship as well. And for the ladies, well, you heard Dennis Rainey say that in order for a husband to feel romance, well, his sexual needs must be met. And I think that's true in many ways. But I would also add that this means that you as a wife have a lot of power in the area of making your husband feel loved and secure. And I love the way Dennis and Barbara Rainey deal with this topic in their book, Rekindling the Romance, Loving the Love of Your Life.
It's a book I know that Jim Burns recommends, and if you'd like to learn more about that resource, you can go to homeward.com. Now, Jim wouldn't brag on himself, so I'll brag on him. Of course, Dennis and Barbara Rainey have written this book, Rekindle the Romance. Jim and Kathy Burns have written a book for couples called Closer, and this deals with not so much on just the passion and intimacy side, but just on the spiritual connectedness that a lot of couples, you have to have that in place before the intimacy on the physical side is going to work. And Jim and Kathy, through years of ministry and marriage, growing a little frustrated with the fact that there were so many books out there that devotionally for couples that just weren't working for them. So they wrote their own. And Closer is a book that has 52 faith conversation starters to get you having those conversations even just once a week, talking about how your faith is growing as a couple, individually and whatnot. If you'd like more information on how you can order a copy of Closer by Jim and Kathy Burns from our Homeward Resource Center, go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.